Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome my good colleague Elizabeth Peake, writes a column for The Hill, writes a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment first on the decision of the Federal Reserve to lower the interest rates at least one quarter notch toward loosening in some fashion the cost of money and leaving the real estate market to anticipate a wonderful spring of 26. Liz, a very good evening to you. The housing market around me in rural Connecticut is moving. Now, I don't think that's the Federal Reserve. I think it's young people making plans to start families. Good for them. But in any event, that is a piece of the story that could go nationwide if the Federal Reserve follows through on its first quarter point. You're very, very keen on the Wall Street opinion here, and I depend upon you to help me. Does Wall Street still count on more cuts this year? How many more cuts? And does it project into 26 what it thinks it needs to get the economy moving? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So the answer is that Wall Street is looking for more interest rate cuts, even though arguably the economic data is actually pretty strong. And so it's a peculiar time. For example, as you know, the second quarter was revised. Second quarter GDP growth was revised up to 3.8%. That is a far cry from the kinds of numbers that the Fed keeps throwing around for this year and next year, where 1.6 and 1.8%. The Atlanta Fed GDP now, which tracks, as you know, all incoming data and puts that into a hopper and comes up with a current quarter growth estimate, is now at 3.9%. It keeps going up. Why? Because the consumer is spending. And I think that, you and I have talked about this so many times. Why is it that the consumer continues to spend amidst all the gloom and doom? Well, first of all, because the jobs market, yes, has slowed, but people can still get a job. The JOLTS number just came out today for the last month, of course, in the rearview mirror, but nonetheless, showing that the number of jobs out there and available is holding steady, not declining, which is probably considered good news because it has been slowly drifting down. We can talk about why that might be. It probably has to do with the fact that companies were posting in the midst of the COVID panic a lot of jobs that they didn't actually need to fill just to sort of be on the boards. Remember, the companies really were struggling to find workers. So a lot of people were maybe over estimating what they wanted in an effort to get more workers on board. But whatever, the reality is now that the market's pretty flat. And I think Friday, if we do get a jobs number, it'll probably be maybe a little bit better than the 22,000 we had for last month. But honestly, John, one of the things that has sort of made me laugh over the last 48 hours is the number of financial commentators who are wringing their hands over the fact that the government may shut down, and they don't seem to be worried about what that means for air travel or government workers. What they're really worried about is we won't get the jobs report on Friday. I don't know about you, but with all the revisions, the really substantial revisions that we continually have been getting from the Bureau of Labor Statistics about jobs, I don't think people are really hanging their hat on that Friday release. I may be wrong, but I think investors are looking to bigger trends, and again, including the fact that the economy is doing better. And by the way, to your point, housing, there was a report yesterday that already somewhat lower mortgage rates are having a slight impact up on housing, pending home sales jumped in August, and they're expected to jump again in the last month. So it's sort of a funny time. I think the biggest financial news, and something that everybody should be focused on and we're not sufficiently focused on, is what Walmart's CEO came out and said yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. That basically they're looking at holding employment flat over the next, quote, several years, because AI is going to be increasingly taking over some jobs at the company. This is one of the few really big employers. This is the biggest employer in the country. One of the first to come out and say, yeah, this is, AI is real. It's impacting our business planning. And it will continue to have an impact on the hiring. So as we look at these next several jobs reports over the next year, 2 years, I think people really have to start taking into account in a serious way the fact that companies are not hiring as many people because they are shifting some labor to AI. I actually sat next to a very senior investment banking head at one of the big banks recently. That's definitely the case there. I mean, they hired this year the normal number of analysts. I think it was like flat, maybe over the year before. And I said, well, do you think are you laying some off? He said, no, but next year we'll probably hire fewer. This is real. And I just read a story about computer programmers graduating from, I think it was UC Berkeley, and they can't get jobs. This is a real thing. I don't know about you. I haven't seen Congress or our policymakers even start to talk about what the government should or should not do to counter what is clearly a bigger and bigger trend. Companies are not spending tens of billions of dollars on AI just to have it, to chalk up clever investment. They're doing it to save money, and really they're doing it to lay off people.
You introduce a topic that's helpful, which is artificial intelligence. Two parts. One, is it a bubble? And two, does it work? I'm going to start with, is it a bubble? Because that's fun. You and I lived through the dot-com bubble crash of March of the year 2000. At one moment, the NASDAQ was at 5,000. Yes, that used to be a high number, 5,000. Imagine that. And the next moment, it was trending towards in the 3,000s. And everything kept going down for days and days and days. Why? Because that bubble was built on no or meaningless profits for all those dot-com companies. We were betting on the future, not knowing the future was going to be in the 20s, not in the early aughts. And the crash was damaging to people's confidence. Nothing like that now pertains from my point of view. Do you see any difference? There are profits we're talking about when we talk about NVIDIA or Microsoft, big profits, major league profits pledged for years. I don't remember anything like that in the dot-com bubble. Do you?
No, I think you really raise a good point, because this does come up from time to time, how frothy the market is. Is this a repeat of that bubble? People that I work with are reminding investors all the time that NVIDIA, for example, yeah, it has a high multiple if you look backwards. If you look forwards, not so high. And so the answer is, you're quite right. These companies like NVIDIA, certainly Microsoft and some of the other Mag 7, are profitable and they are growing very rapidly. Certainly that's the case in NVIDIA. I remember in the dot-com bubble, we all thought it was just marvelous that at any hour of the day or night, you could order for delivery at your home, anything on earth, and it would be delivered, you know, within an hour. And I live in Manhattan, so this probably wasn't true across the country, but it would be delivered at any hour and be accompanied by a chocolate chip cookie. And I must say, we all sort of thought at the time, gosh, this, you know, that doesn't really seem very reasonable. And by the way, you weren't even paying a premium for that delivery. I mean, if you were buying a $39 power drill, it was still $39, and you got the chocolate chip cookie at 3 a.m. It was crazy, and it wasn't profitable. And so sure enough, it didn't last, and it all collapsed of its own weight. It was fun while it lasted, John, because a lot of people came up with a lot of really creative zany ideas about how to make money with the internet, which was new ish. And but no, there's not much parallel.
Well, we're looking at here in the other part of the equation. Does it work? I have a specialized task, which is to tell stories based on the news. I used four of the entities. There are many other choices. I used Grok, Ara, that's Musk. I used Gemini, that's Google. I used Claude, that's Anthropic, which is a breakaway from ChatGPT. And I used Google's Notebook LM, which is not like the others. It's a process that you feed an audio into it and it renders it in an outline form. All four have different strengths, and I depend upon them for their specialty. What I realize sometimes, Liz, is I'm building a workshop, and every person is a master at what they do. I don't ask them to do everything. Isn't that Adam Smithy of me? I go to where the work is best, competitive advantages are best. I would never ask Gemini to take risks. As Ara says, she's a corporate type. She doesn't take risks. Ara, on the other hand, has met Musk personality perfectly, Musk personality, including go for it from Ara. With Anthropic, is masterful at copy editing. Now, this is, again, a specialized task for me, but this is going on all across America is what I read about, and I believe you have the same anecdote. People are learning to take advantage of the gift that the AI is.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think you are probably more studious about the differences, the comparisons, the various way these products can be used. I certainly haven't delved that far into it. Frankly, I'm terrified that I'm going to become completely dependent on it. And I'm sure it is all too easy to rely in my field, creating written product. I think it's pretty darned easy to say, write 400 words on XYZ topic and out it comes. But as I say, I'm terrified of doing that because it could become just all too easy. But look, that's exactly right. And what's interesting, what was interesting about this conversation with this banking executive is that they have their own internal and in-house product, AI product. I'm sure all big companies have this. So it is particularly tuned to the tasks that company wants to achieve. I'm sure Walmart also has its own systems and AI products that they're using. As I say, John, I think this is all going to explode into the public conversation. It has begun to show up, but not in the way that you might think, particularly when, as I say, everyone seems so completely glued to the impending Friday jobs report. Yeah, I get it. That's an interesting take or signal about how employment is doing and the labor market is doing. I think, though, that it's going to be almost more important to watch spending, because spending, after all, is sort of a symptom, if you will, or a signal about how that employment market is and how it looks to people. If it looks robust because people can still get a job quickly and so forth, spending will hold up. The minute that turns, spending will begin to decline. Now, there is right now, people talk about a somewhat bifurcated economy with well-off people benefiting from a higher stock market. That's definitely the case. I mean, you have companies and, or I should say, investors in crypto and investors stocks doing well, and I'm sure that's helping too. But overall, spending is holding up.
Elizabeth Peake, reporting for The Hill, a column reporting for Fox News, a column much on Fox Business. We turn momentarily to the pending election in New York City, the center of all the bankers, all the fashion designers, and all the culture. Is about to go through what appears to be a major transformation. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.